morning, Patriots. Beautiful Sunday, May 16th. Halfway through the month, and it seems like it just began. It's pretty amazing to me. So let's remember how blessed we are, truly, to be here in this time. And that we are here for a reason, that we have a purpose, and that nothing really at all in life happens by accident. We are in a time, in a place that for our perception many is often challenged. It's hurtful. It's heavy on our hearts. We see so many decisions being made that we shake our head at. And yet this time is as it needs to be. We are seeing people so willingly walk away from God. And I think that's one of the hardest things we all have to face. And it's the lack of even trying to reach to God. It's the quick reaction to stepping away from Him and accepting something that in the end is destructive in a way that we know, and those that are accepting it almost scoff at the idea that it is, and they just can't accept what the reality is about to become. When you take a group of people, however large, and there's been a number of emails going around, networks of people of 8,000 or people of 5,000 or 3,000, communities that are taking this injection, and they say, well, all that with just a little bit of pain on the spot of the injection, but I've had no side effects. All this other stuff is bunk. It's ridiculous, all these predictions. And when you put that out there and they say, well, nothing's going to happen, you all are tin hatters. Fact is that they've put something in their body that has begun to transform them. This isn't a normal injection, as we know. This is an injection to transform the body into something that God never intended. And ultimately, it comes down to if you believe in the sanctity of the temple that God gave us or not. Prior to 1986, the pharmaceutical industry was losing money in lawsuits. And it was being sued for the dangerous substances it was creating to inject into people. In 1986, they passed the Act of 1986, which ensured that the pharmaceutical industry could no longer be sued. The government would then assume accountability for making sure that the vaccines that they created, the drugs that they created, were safe. And they promised the public that they would produce a report every 2 years to show people just how things were improving. Since 1986, there has never been a report done to show people how vaccines are safe or getting improved. And the reason is because the government realized once they opened that can of worms that it wasn't ever going to be safe. It never was safe, that they had inherited a nightmare and that the public really knew the truth. Not only would they reject all the pharmaceutical products, they would probably remove most of the people in government. And with pharmaceutical funding so many campaigns, politicians made a choice to not bite the hand that was feeding them, literally. And so this practice has gone buried, and yet people continue to assume wrongly that since pharmaceutical can't be sued, that therefore it is a safer place. And it is a place that we can now trust even more. The problem with the public is that it has quite literally lost a lot of its higher functions to reason. God gave us a brain to reason, to question, to see the world with open eyes. We're his children. We are intended to see clearly. We're intended to ask questions. And this is another, yet another part of this equation, which is the obedience that our churches teach and the pews insist upon. To sit obediently to the word. To not question the word. And to obey under the terms of acceptance and part of the Christian faith. There isn't the basics of just living that are taught anymore. In the old colonial period, when our pastors were at the pulpit, they were challenging people to question their environment. They were pointing out tyranny. They were insisting on people living a life accountable to God first, not to a government. That forced people to have to look upon their government in a different way. People had to reflect upon their life, the struggles that they had to do, what they had to endure, being loyal to God first, but looking at government with a jaundiced eye, questioning it, putting it in context of what God would expect. That sort of exercise of looking and questioning constantly, not obeying, not getting handouts, not just agreeing to be a willful slave, wasn't part of our roots. And yet it has become part of the words and definitions of being American today. Being American today defines itself first and foremost as being a person of freedom through materialism, salaries, the right to work any job you want. It's not defined in terms of living through God, putting government in the context of moral law, holding government accountable, and having the right to choose the type of government that you want to lead us within the framework of a constitution, not changing the constitution and becoming a socialist country where we become obedient slaves. Much of this rests on the education system. It has been very strategically designed to disrupt those basic functions in a child. And the farther that we go through this, the more that they're able to speak lies and feed lies to people. And just to the point where black becomes white, purple becomes green, and the world becomes an absolute joke for what it really is. Much of this is driven by willful and compliant teachers that often begin with good intentions but become subject to their retirement accounts, their PERS payments, the obedience to their unions. It's reinforced by laws with lawyers and police officers that start out being good but then become compliant to their job, their rank, their salaries, and their unions. All along, what has been missing is the loyalty to who and to what, which is our first and foremost, is loyalty to God. Nowhere in any of this process has God ever asked anybody to be poor, to live in poverty. The problem is that in our culture these days, what has become worshipped are things and money first. And when that begins to happen, we end up over time in a place where life by function becomes an existence purely to acquire, to get in debt, to acquire again. In fact, debt becomes so much a part of life that you can't imagine not having it to exist. And yet we know debt is not something that God's ever asked us to be part of. God has warned us, and the most amazing thing is that throughout the Bible, there are these warnings of what is coming. It always centers on some simple things. Trust in God. Have no fear. Put all your trust in God. And build your world based on how you treat and respect one another. Nowhere in there does it say, obey the world of tyrants. In fact, the great story of Christ challenging the Pharisees in the temple is so much about challenging the tyrants. What lies ahead is a very challenging road. It's a road that God is showing a light to. It's a road that we're finding. We're coming together. And as we believe in God first and put Him priority in our life and we turn ourselves over to that path, God's showing us a way. It doesn't mean that way is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that we are necessarily going to see the end of that walk in our lifetime. But what we have to do is continue to press for truth and continue to trust in Him in all things that we do. That can never change. And that's the only hope that this world has. There are too many people who have literally shut off their cognitive functions. There's no reason in the majority of these people that are taking these injections. Matter of fact, I would say anybody taking this injection, the functions of reason have gone away. They'll tell you otherwise. They'll tell you things like, I researched it, I don't want to hear it. You're completely full of craziness. When you take an injection like this, there's going to be a wave of people that are going to die or be in the hospital this fall because they're going to get re-exposed. And it's that re-exposure is going to happen probably through the flu vaccine. And the flu vaccine will cause their bodies to go into an autoimmune disaster, an autoimmune storm. There's others where these problems will start to show up in 3 to 7 years. Because it takes time for this mess that they put in their body to get inside and start causing problems with the organs. But it will happen. And then there's the whole issue of reproduction. And this is almost, in this sense, you have to wonder sometimes if this isn't almost biblical, because quite frankly, nearly everybody that takes this will end up being infertile, unable to reproduce. So that's a fairly heavy consequence to turn your back on God. Whether you want to frame it that way or not, it's a consequence that's at least real. There's so many people out here that have found the salvation in a shot, and that in principle is so wrong. So many people that are driven by fear, which is exactly opposite of what God told us. And yet so many people that are celebrating this moment in time right now because they have the shot and now they're getting back to normal. And we've missed the entire point of being here. Anybody that thinks right now that we're going to be in good shape, that we're getting through this, you're living in a false euphoria. If finally things are getting back to normal, you're living in a false euphoria. And I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but I'm going to stomp all over your parade if that's how you believe, because the fact of the matter is the one basic thing has not changed. There's no change in the relationship towards God. The country has to, in the end of the day, return itself to God in a very principle of how we live. For those that aren't of Christian faith, those who even aren't of faith, laugh at this. They scoff at this idea as some sort of pulpit and brimstone type threats and doom and gloom. But what's missed by those that say that, and I think for the large percentage of people, even in faith, they forget a simple point. Our life has never been anything other than spiritual. The material issues are part of the maze. They're part of what snags us, holds us, traps us. Again, it isn't that you're supposed to live with nothing and walk around with bare feet and in a sackcloth over yourself. It's the relationship to the world, the relationship to things. Man creates amazing things. The gifts that we're given, the talents that we're given, allow us to create many things in this world to amplify the message and glory of God. We're able to use the things that others make, the tools that we take in our hands, to amplify the message and the glory of God. We're able to use tools and things that we make to improve the life that we have here, to help one another, to give aid to those in need, and to protect and ensure the voice of the innocent and those that have no voice. We're able to use our gifts and talents to truly build a better world through the relationships that we build with one another, always without fear. And we're able to use our gifts and talents knowing that those gifts and talents come from God and that the wealth that's created by those gifts and talents is not of us, but it comes from God. And it's therefore to be used to help one another. That process of life doesn't say you have to live in a sackcloth without shoes or in some cardboard box on the street with a tin cup. It says that each one of us has gifts and talents to use to elevate up the other, to raise up this world, to create a world where we're giving into the world, not taking from the world. The problem with the materialist way of being in this world is the mentality is about constantly taking and hoarding. In our lives, if we cherish these gifts, we take our time. We acquire the things that we need in life, which we do need things, not to be amassing more junk, but to be selective, to be patient in our time, not using credit, but using cash. We're acquiring things, or should be, in a way that we don't have to replace them constantly. So we're not trying to create a disposable, recyclable purchase culture. But instead, we're purchasing things wisely with the intent that they last, hopefully, for our whole life. That was values that we used to have, not values we have today. Today, I buy a piece of something and I get tired of it quickly because maybe the color is wrong, or maybe I see a new version of it and it's got one tiny little new feature that I wish I'd have, so I get rid of it and I buy something new because I tell myself I need it. And its constant cycle is going on and on and on. But ask yourself this, when you buy something, I don't care what it is, when you make a purchase in life, do you ask God first if that's the purchase that needs to be made? And I mean in everything. Do you live a life and you walk and you're talking to God and asking God, God, is this how I should be? I will guarantee you, if people truly listen to God as an example, when we all became dependent upon the grocery store as our source of food. God would have been telling us something, and is telling us something, in my opinion, to grow a garden. Not necessarily that you would grow all of your food, but you would start taking responsibility for the process of the creation of your food, the miracle of growing something from seed. If we're listening, we're not buying our fifth car, or sixth car, or seventh car necessarily, especially not on credit. We're building appropriately for what we are. As an individual, we're building what we need. And this is, a lot of people object to this because they feel that it's their right to accumulate. And I'm not, and it is a correct statement. It is their right. The question is, where is your relationship to the fundamentals of how God wants you to live in this world? What is your relationship to the things that you're acquiring? And where is God in that walk, in that process of making that decision? And there is no judgment, truly, if you have 7 cars, 100 cars. There is no judgment. If you have 1 house, 10 houses, there is none. The question each one of us has to resolve is, what is that relationship you have with God? And is it something God's guided you to do, truly? And therefore, where does that fit into the model of how we live in this life? Of loving our neighbor as we would expect to be loved, helping those in need, and giving voice to the innocent. If you're going to do that, you also, there's resources that God needs to provide and will provide if we're living that way. So it's a cycle that I think we get caught in very easily because we start to justify ourselves and we don't want to hear these things that, well, I've worked hard. I want to acquire something. This is my choice. That's where things go wrong. Because our relationship in this world has never been about me. That is a path, by the way. The me path is what we're witnessing. But the relationship in this world, to live in this world as a being through God and where God is living through us, is always God first. The me path leads, that's the wide gate. It's the easy path. And it's the path this society, this world asks of us to participate in. In fact, this world tells us God is an option. Our relationship with God is an option. The biggest lie going. And it's never been an option. It's been a choice of life or death in a true sense. If death is an option that one wants to only live in this moment in time, yes, it's a choice, but I don't think people understand the magnitude of that choice. We are all spiritual first, and our relationship to this world is only a material perception. Most of this, like I said, is a maze. It's how we navigate this maze. What things hook us and hold us? What things anchor us? How do we use what's around us to amplify God's kingdom? And when we shift to that perspective and everything is in those contexts, our entire world priorities shift. What we need shifts. How we purchase shifts. How we share shifts. How we live with one another transforms. Therein is the critical part of all of this. It is nothing that we do, not a breath we take, not a step we take on this earth is ours to take. It's a relationship with God. How often have you taken a walk and just said to yourself, said to God, I'm going to take a walk with God today? How often have you gone into the gardens and asked God to join you? I mean this literally. How often have you sat down to grab a glass of water in the afternoon and ask God to sit down and share a glass with you? How often have you had a meal, not to pray to God, but to ask God to join you? That's the sort of walk that every one of us should be taking. That's the place as we walk, we're asking God to be part of our life. Not just someone we pray to, not some entity that we ask to deliver, not some credit card that we want to run up a bill on. Let God be part of all things. And as we do, the world transforms in the most amazing way. And the most amazing part of that is we're transforming it with God. There isn't an easy way forward here. There are so many that have made the decision to turn their back on God. And this attrition of this change, if you will, from the old to the new, I personally think is going to be a process of years, not a process of months. And I think that much of this transformation of the world is going to be witness to some very difficult times ahead. And we're all going to be challenged, and we're all going to have to endure. Those that have walked this path, have embraced this path of helping thy neighbor, loving our neighbor as we want to be loved, of helping those in need, giving voice to the innocent, protection to those that have none or no ability to protect themselves. Each of us who have looked after and tended to our household to make sure that we have basics and supplies in place, enough for us, but also enough to share with another. Those are the sorts of powerful things where we will be able to transform this world. Not to fall into the traps of their choices. Not to feel guilty or pressured because another group has decided to take the injection and celebrate their newfound freedom. There's no freedom for something that you become dependent upon through a state-manufactured system. True freedom and sovereignty only comes in the heart with God. And as we reset our life in a principle that God is part of all things, walk is part of all of this walk in life, we truly live in a blessed time and experience it no matter how long or short that time is we have here on earth. It's nothing but rewarding and fulfilling because we've let God show us the path he intended us to be on, not the path we assumed we could decide for ourselves. And I can't think of a greater gift to receive than such a walk as that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you give, and thank you for the guidance, the walk that you join us on. Lord, in these difficult times, these challenging times where we see this roller coaster of emotions, the key word being emotions, those people living by their fear and trying to resolve their fear through the offerings of freedom in a needle, the promises of returning that to them, the very gifts that you gave us that no man should ever be able to remove or take away. In these times where we stand boldly with you and we witness this, Lord, give us the hearts of compassion and to one another, not to be moved by the fears or the pressures of others' choices, but instead to stand boldly in this place, knowing that you're guiding us, that we're walking with you and you're walking with us in this beautiful place on earth, where you're showing us the path ahead, that we're living by the laws that you put before us, and we're evolving a new world, a new economy based on the foundations truly of In God We Trust. To where in this path and in this walk ahead, Lord, this new world that we're evolving as the old begins to crumble. We know that as that begins to fall, there's times that we're going to be close to the collapse. And it's going to be difficult. But that pathway you're showing us, Lord, is glorious. It's a pathway out. It's a pathway to redefine how we see this world, redefine how we work with one another. It's a path of how we reshape whole economies, whole ways of being, whole relationships to everything in this world. A path where we recognize above all that all wealth comes from you, not from man. And that with this, you will provide all we need as we humble ourselves before you and walk in a gracious way to reshape a world in a way that we've been shown and we've been taught and exists within our heart if we simply turn to you. We're reminded of the strength always of our Savior and King, Jesus Christ, of all that he's done, how he walked in this world in true alignment and connection with all that you are and give. Never to forget the many voices that surrounded him that he took time to speak to, always doing his single role, which should be all of our role, which is to spread your word in this world. And so may we walk with that honor and respect in all that we do. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. This is a glorious, glorious time if we embrace it. And if we embrace this wonderful time, it's such an amazing opportunity to live to another level, to another place, and not be burdened by the fears and anxieties. It's two worlds right now. And rather than being concerned with it, let's embrace it. You can't change the choices people make. We can offer crumbs, we can offer hope through the ways that we live. We become those lanterns on the hill. But truly embrace this time. For those in broken homes, when I mean that by divided homes with so many, one side taking an injection, being ostracized because you have chosen not to obey to the tyranny, turn to God and listen to that beautiful walk that you're on. You're on a walk that few can experience, a walk of strength in God, in Christ, in a way that never before has been offered. And in this process, we gain a strength and respect in this world of how everything about this world is truly spiritual first. We lead by action. We lead by the way we live. And in so doing, we transform the world. So, patriots, a few things just real quickly. This week, tonight is Expedition Cafe. It is going to be a Q&A tonight. Monday night, we have Dr. Lee Merritt coming on, one of the doctors, the five docs, on work, all that group that works with Dr. Tenpenny. There on Tuesday, we have Tuesday or Wednesday, we have, depending on how it goes, but we'll have, actually it'll be Wednesday, we'll have Dr. Larry Pileski, another one of the docs. This week we also will have Clay Clark coming on, and we will also have Pastor Greg Locke coming on this week. So lots of good guests this week. It'll be a great week and a lot of great things to look forward to. The biggest thing is to keep our walk pure with God, to put him first in all things that we do, and to trust in that walk, no matter how challenging life gets. God's going to guide this beautifully. And if we're here and we're faced with challenges, just remember, it's there for a reason. Not just for us, but for those around us. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers are an essential part of this walk. It aligns us with God. It allows us to hear God. It allows us to give to Him, give ourselves to Him as intended. And it allows us to stay strong in that walk, our armor, so to speak, as we walk into this battle zone that's around us. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And in the end, God always wins. Most important of this every day is through Christ to the Father. Keep Christ glowing in your heart. So have a blessed day, Patriots. I'll see you tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
East of Eden, running with